unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the title of the message today in our Gone Fishing series of this first sermon installment is going to be Swallowed by a Whale. Let's bow our heads together right now, if you would. Jesus, we're so thankful for all of your people that have gathered here together in this building. We're so thankful, God, that they had the courage to come to the house of the Lord today. And we've been singing and worshiping and laughing and having a good time visiting with one another. We want to take some time in your word this morning. And I pray that your word would speak to us, that it would inspire us, that it would encourage us, and that it would make us better Christians and better human beings and better prepare us for the coming kingdom after this life. In Jesus' name, if you want to be a better Christian, would you say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If you would, keep your Bibles open in front of you. And I'm going to read a little further into the book of Jonah. And you'll see here in Jonah that this is a great story about a prophet or a preacher getting himself into trouble. And he gets himself into trouble for one reason and one reason only. And his story, I believe, is so indicative of human nature, specifically the male human nature. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Verse number 4. Jonah has been told by God to go to a great city called Nineveh, in the kingdom of Assyria. Very evil and wicked city, very violent city. And these people are known for coming into the northern kingdoms of Israel and killing people, raping women, dismembering people, burning their homes, their crops. These are very, 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 this would not be tolerated. These people would be, sanctioned and all kinds of maybe even armies sent in to shut them down because they're such an evil people. And God says to his preachers that I want you to go to that city and I want you to preach against those people and preach in their face. I want you to get in their face and preach at them. You know what Jonah did? He said, I don't want to go there. And he got a ship taking him. And this is a pretty good trip anyway. They say it's about 550 miles from where Jonah was, and he would have to travel. And he would have to travel through enemy territory and all of this. And he decided he was going to go in the other direction. He got in a ship going in the opposite direction, and he refused to do what God told him to do. Verse number 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. So here is Jonah in a boat, trying to get away from the will of God for his life. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. And you'll never guess, ladies, what our man of God was doing. And he lay and was fast asleep. Now, there's one thing that men are good for. It's taking a good nap.
Amen.
Always asleep when you need him to be doing something. Okay. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. other words, they took sticks or straws, and all the straws or sticks were the same size except one was short. And everybody drew a stick, and Jonah drew the short stick. And so they said unto him in verse 8, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And I'm going to read the whole story. I'm going to read all four chapters. For some of you, this is probably more Bible than you probably read all year. And I feel a responsibility to help you read your Bible, make sure that you ingest the Word of God. And the Bible also teaches us that we should read the Scriptures publicly. And anymore nowadays, we'll read one or two verses and we move on. I'm going to read you the whole story. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. He told them the story that he was running from God. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and let not upon us innocent blood, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now let me tell you something. Whatever a man does, it sets a pattern for everyone else. It all starts in the Garden of Eden. God tells Adam, you're in charge, buddy. You're the boss. I've been hearing that a lot this week. Now, I may be debunking my own sermon right off the bat from my experience this week. Whatever a man does sets a pattern for everyone else. And the only problem that I have found with this theory that I'm making up here is when you do good things, they don't seem to follow your habits and patterns, only when you do bad things. The Bible says in the Garden of Eden that Eve partook of the fruit, she gave her husband, he took of the fruit. And a pattern was set right there in the Garden of Eden. Adam set a pattern for all mankind to follow behind him. And the problem with it is this. When men avoid responsibility, now if you didn't bring your hard hat today and you didn't bring your steel-toed shoes, man, then that's your own fault. That's your responsibility. You're responsible for your own gear and protection when you come to church. And if I say I'm going to preach a series to the men, you got to bring your own protective gear. If you don't bring it, then you get bruised up. That's your problem. We're preaching to the men today. And men have a problem. You know how I know all about this, Brother Pappas? You'll never guess how I know all about this. Because I am a man, and I have been born in the pattern and the curse of Adam, and I have the same problem that Adam does, and that is I like to avoid responsibility if at all I can. God said to Adam, where are you? What was he doing? He was avoiding owning up to his mistakes. And God began to talk to him and he said, why did you eat of the fruit that I told you not to eat of? And what did Adam do? He passed the buck. Now, I don't have enough time to preach this message and do it any justice today. You know that I could preach for a long time right now. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot to say here. And a pattern has been set ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. And we have done in detail, talked about things, and you ladies probably never thought you'd hear a pastor preach some of the things you have towards women. And I know that I was hitting the nail on the head because, you know, sometimes pastors preach and they get all macho and chauvinistic and bigotist, you know, and you can tell the women are like, they're not happy with what the preacher's preaching. But when I preached those messages leading up to Mother's Day, I didn't see that on their faces. They were going like, oh, deer in the headlights. How did he get my number? Easy, I just read the Bible and there it is. Well, I'm going to do that to the men today. One of the biggest problems that men have is they do not like to take responsibility for their lives and for the lives of other people around them. And God has made man the head of the family. God has made man the head, the preeminent creature on the earth. Because of the fall and because of sin and because of his lack of responsibility taking in the Garden of Eden, instead of telling him, no, we're not going to take that fruit because God told us not to, he just went along and played the game with her. He should have taken a stand and he should have taken responsibility for the commandments that God gave him. And men have been backing out and shirking their duties and their responsibilities to God ever since. And everybody says, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Let me tell you something. The man is the head of the house, and that's what the Bible teaches. I don't care if you're a feminist. I don't care if you like it or if you don't like it. It does not change the truth of the Word of God. The man is the head of the house, and he is the one responsible for what goes on in that house.
That's right.
I was telling them at the lunch table yesterday. We were taking a break, and I said, they're talking about some different things, and I said, no, nothing happened in my house that I don't want to happen in my house. I said, everybody in my house listens to me. My wife listens to me. My kids listen to me. And I said, even my dog listens to me. You know why? Because I am a man of God. And the Bible says if a man of God cannot rule his own house well, how can he be an overseer of the flock of Christ? It is our biblical mandate. I don't like my job sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to take responsibility. And sometimes, doggone, I just don't take responsibility. And when I don't take responsibility, everything spirals out of control. A man has got to take responsibility, number one, for his own self and what God has called him to do. And then he's got to take responsibility for people around him. And when he does that, whatever the man does, everything else is going to follow his pattern. It is all on the shoulders of the man. I don't care about the woman, the wife, and all those things we talk about. We're dealing with a man today. You can put all the responsibility you want on the man. We was at a men's conference one time, and I'm going to share this a little bit. And this preacher was preaching, Brother Shadwell was preaching, and he said that a man was complaining to him that his wife was just an old nag and just constantly nagging him. He said, well, he said, if you treat her like an old nag, guess what she's going to be? The pattern is set by the man. The man has the power and the authority given him by God. And if he takes that responsibility and that authority seriously, things will fall into place. But if he does not take that authority seriously, then everything in his life will slowly unravel and fall apart around him. Jonah refused to take responsibility and go preach. I'm going to tell you something. There are some things that I don't want to have to mess with, Brother Pappas. There are some things that I don't like having to deal with. There are some people that I don't want to have to talk to or be around. And as a pastor, I know how to circumvent. I know how to ring around the rosy. And I know how to get around responsibility. I know how to avoid phone calls. I know how to not be in the wrong place at the right time. I know how to hide out and hide away. There are many, many situations and there are many, many people that I do not like to have to deal with and problems and situations. And God told Jonah, he said, you go down to Nineveh where all of those wicked people are and you go preach to them that they're going to be, their city is going to be destroyed if they don't repent of their evil ways. There's a lot of things things that we would like to not have to deal with. But if you don't deal with the responsibilities that are before you, everything else will unravel around you, and all of the people around you will suffer because of your avoiding responsibility. And that's exactly what happened with Jonah. Wherever Jonah went, God came after him, and he jeopardized the whole entire boat full of innocent, quote-unquote, innocent other men. Why? Because he was avoiding responsibility. When he avoided responsibility, the people that were with him in the boat had to suffer as well. But God had another plan. You don't mess with God. You know, you may be able to you may be able to get away with some things. You know, you may be able to shirk your responsibilities of marriage. You may be able to avoid your responsibility to be a parent and a father. You may avoid your responsibility to do a job well. Come on, can I get an amen from anybody? How about you ladies? Are you afraid to say amen? You're afraid your husband's going to hit you when you get home or something? You tell me about it. We'll call the law on him. We'll have him thrown in jail. That's what their police are there for. This is a free country. And it is illegal to beat up on somebody in this country, especially your wife. We may be able to avoid our responsibility for our own personal spiritual lives and get by with it. But there is one thing, man, that you will never, ever be able to get by with, and that is your responsibility to God. God will come and he will find you and he will lay you flat on your back. He will send a mammal or a whale shark or a sperm whale that's big enough, and he will swallow you whole, and he will drag you down miles under the ocean, and then he'll look at you and he'll say, "Now what? I'm going to put you somewhere where you cannot be a danger to yourself or anybody else." You cannot get around God. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter."
That's right.
The Apostle Paul said to his protege and his apprentice as a preacher, Timothy, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, "Take heed unto thyself." The first thing every man of God has to do is he's got to take care of himself. My greatest Christian counsel that I'll ever give you or tell you, my greatest pastoral advice that I could ever share with you that is worth the price of rubies and pearls and pure gold is simply this. And if you got problems with your relationships and you got other types of problems in your life, the first thing that you need to take responsibility for is yourself. There ain't nobody else that has control over the thoughts in your brain. There ain't nobody else that has control over the words that you speak. There ain't nobody else that has control over where your feet go. You are an independent individual given a free will by God and the earth. And God expects you to take responsibility for yourself. And Paul said to Timothy, you need to take responsibility for yourself. And you need to take responsibility unto the teachings of the Bible. And he said you need to stay in them. You need to continue in them. We preached about that Wednesday night. And he said if you will stay responsible to yourself and to God, you will save yourself and you will save all of those that hear you and follow you. However the man goes, so goes everything else in his life. If he's a man of God and he owns up to his responsibilities to be a Christian, his wife will be blessed. His children will be blessed. His grandchildren will be blessed. His employers and his employees will be blessed. His neighbors will be blessed. But we take responsibility, men, for ourselves and for our relationship with God. Everything else will fall into the place that it should be. I don't care how you go about it. You can try it a million different ways. But until you take responsibility for yourself, you'll never do a lot of good to anybody or anything in this life. God's not going to let you get away. So, this is what God did. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Some of you men in the situation and going through trials and tribulation, you're trying to figure out what is wrong, what is going in. I'll tell you what's happening. God has swallowed you up in that trial and tribulation to get your attention, to get your focus back where it needs to be on yourself. You know, I talk in counsel with people all the time. And you know what? Their problems are always the same thing. Everybody but me. The problems are always somebody else, but not with themselves. They're ready to work on you. And they're ready to work on her. And they're ready to work on him. And they're ready to work on them. And they're ready to work on us. And if everybody wasn't so mean to them, and if everybody wasn't so rude and crude, if everybody didn't have all these other problems, they wouldn't be in the situation where they were at. When I hear somebody talk like that, it tells me one simple thing. They are never going to get better. They are never going to change. With a mindset that my problem is somebody else, they will never get better until an individual, whether man or woman, comes to an understanding that I am a free will moral agent and I can make decisions for myself, and they begin to take responsibility for themselves. Nothing else will change in their lives. It just get worse and spiral out of control. When I take responsibility for myself, don't tell me what to do because you're wasting your breath. Make suggestions, Brother Davis. Give me advice. Give me your objective opinions and tell me what you see and how you feel. Encourage me. Admonish me and say, you know, you shouldn't be doing that because the Bible says not to do that. Give me scriptures. Give me different things. But don't tell me what to do because I am a man of God and God tells me what to do. When you're living by the law of the Spirit, Paul said, there are no higher laws to live by. Don't come and tell me what to do with my life, because in the prayer closet, in the Word of God, God is showing me what I need to do. I don't need anybody to tell me. A man who has taken responsibility for himself and his relationship with God does not need anybody else to tell him what to do, because there is no higher advice or authority than what you can get from God. There is no higher authority than what God has placed in you as a man. Come on now. Get into a theology about manhood here this morning. No, it ain't all about how big and strong and tough you are. I've worked with a lot of big and strong and tough guys. And I always laugh at it. They're like a drag race car. You know, we was laughing about that on the roof. They're like a drag race car. They go, "Mwah!" And then they fizzle out. If you get a little guy out there, man, they got that high-speed engine metabolism. They just go and go and go and go. And they're like NASCAR drivers. Go round and round and round and round and round. Stop, get some new tires, gas up, and get back, go round and round and round and round. Hit the wall, crumble the car, burn everything up, jump out, get in the next car, go around and around and around. We got to take responsibility. We got to stay with what we're doing. We got to stay focused and make sure that we take responsibility for, I don't even know why I said that, I'll think of it later. I'm going to tell you something, man. If you're not taking responsibility for yourself, God's going to get you. Swallowed up by a great fish, chapter 2. And then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. That's always a good idea, isn't it, man? My God, don't wait until you're in a fish's belly at the bottom of the ocean to pray to God. Pray to Him every day. Pray to Him at lunch. You don't have to be in a cathedral with the kneeling benches that are padded and velvet. Fabric is stretched over them, Brother Pat. You don't have to have all that fancy stuff in order to pray to God. Brother Davis, you can pray to God when you're in the boat and say, God, let me catch the biggest fish today. What's wrong with having communication like that with God? You can talk to God. He can handle anything you can throw at Him. And he prayed unto the Lord his God of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice, for Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet I will look again toward Thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted in me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee into Thy holy temple. And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own way, but I will sacrifice unto Thee, and with a voice of thanksgiving I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. When you take responsibility for yourself and your relationship with God, God will turn everything around and He'll spit you out of your trial. And you know where He's going to spit you, don't you? He's going to spit you right back at the front door of that responsibility that you were avoiding. He's going to spit you out right back at the front door of the responsibility that you were avoiding. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And you know what he said? He said the exact same thing. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I have bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so the people of Nineveh, now watch this, when a man of God takes responsibility, watch what happens. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, and let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I am here to tell you, men, that when you take responsibility for your life and your relationship with God, you will have an impact that will last for years and even decades. The whole entire city of Nineveh, it was so great that it took 3 days to walk across the entire city. Now that's a really big city. That all those people, from the king down to the littlest child, every single cat and dog and goat and cow and chicken was not allowed to eat or drink anything for several days. And they were all, even the animals, covered with rags and sackcloth. And they went. The whole entire city cried out to God for mercy. That's what a man looks like when he gets spit out of the belly and of the depths of hell. And God spits him out into his responsibility. And he begins to proclaim what is right, no matter what anybody says. He will save the souls of the people that hear him. And he will save his own soul. Is well, how many of you men want to see your wife in heaven? How many of you men would like to see your children in heaven? How many of you men would like to see your grandchildren in heaven? How many of you men would like to see your father and your mother and your family members in heaven? I'm here to tell you, it only takes one man to make up his mind to take a stand. You read the book of Judges in the Old Testament. You look through the book of Acts in the New Testament. And you see the great things that men of God have done over the years. It only took one man for God to turn a city around. It only took one man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ the righteous, to forgive, Brother David, the sins of all humanity, past and all humanity, future, for those that are willing to avail themselves and believe in Jesus. How did God do all of that? He just had one man. That's a lot of powerful man right there. And man, the Bible says he was ugly. There was no comeliness. He was not good looking. He didn't have rugged good looks. He wasn't all toned up and bulging with muscles. He was poor. He lived off of the handouts of the people that gave him where he went and ministered. He did not have a home or a job or a career or a family business or inheritance. He was a nobody. And they even gave him an average, ordinary Joe name. Jesus is just the Jewish name Joshua. He didn't even have a special name. But he came that way for a reason, to show the men of this world that if you'll take responsibility of this life, that you can impact people and you can change the course of an entire country. You can even become a force that travels across the oceans and across continents. But it starts with you, right here, at home. Now look at Jonah. If Jonah is not let me, there's a lot of little tidbits here and things that I could share with you. One of the gods that the Ninevites worshipped was called the fish god. And the fact, I think that his name was Dagon, and the fact that Jonah had been in the belly of a whale, and that no doubt people were standing there when he got spit up by the whale. And they're like, Brother Patrick, this guy came up to the beach and a whale spit him out. Spouted off of his head and spouted out of his mouth. This is a prophet of God, Brother Davis. Now, if you had been fishing the other day and a giant whale would have came out and spit Andrew into your boat, and Andrew would have said, Brother Davis, the Lord sent me to give you a message. Would you listen? Whoa! And word traveled fast. It got to the king very quickly. And the whole city repented of their evils. But as is the man, so are those that he ministers to. Jonah chapter number 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Boy, if Jonah doesn't depict a typical man, I don't know what does. He was mad. You know why he was avoiding his responsibility? Do you know why he was avoiding his responsibility? It wasn't because he was lazy. It wasn't because he was a shirker or a procrastinator. You know why he was avoiding his responsibility? Because he did not like the Ninevites. You know why most men avoid responsibility? Because they just don't like the people that they're having to deal with. They just don't like them, and they don't want to have anything to do with them. And even though they know it's right, they don't want to do it. Because they're so angry at sometimes at certain people. Angry. That they refuse to take their God-given responsibility because they are enjoying the fact that that person is going to suffer in the hand of God. The Bible teaches that we need to be careful. The Bible says, rejoice not when your enemy falls, lest a similar destruction fall upon you. Jonah became angry. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live. Now this guy has got some serious issues. He would rather die than see the Ninevites forgiven. You don't think God knows where you're at today and your avoidance of responsibility? You better think again. You don't think that all the whales are extinct, you better think again. He did not want to see those people. He was enjoying the fact that he knew God had to judge their sin. And so he was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for that to happen. And when it didn't happen, he got angry. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? He said, what are you angry about? I mean, God's like, I just spit you out of the belly of a whale. I just saved your life. And you would rather be dead. I'd rather die before I had to take responsibility. That puts it in a whole different light, ladies, doesn't it? You thought he was lazy. You thought he was a procrastinator. Let me tell you something, ladies. He would cause himself untold turmoil and damage and trial to do anything that he had to do to avoid that responsibility. He's not just lazy and a procrastinator. He will put out more energy 100,000 times over than it takes to actually do the job than he would to do it, because he does not want it to happen. And he will not do his responsibility just to spite God and all the earth. Am I getting dramatic? Am I dramatic here today? Brother Patrick, am I over dramatizing this? Look at this. Who else would do this? There is nobody else that walks upon this earth that's got more gall and gumption than a man. A man will look God in the eye and say, kill me. I will not carry out this responsibility. Just go ahead and kill me. God's like, no, you're a special case. I'm not going to kill you. I am going to slowly torture you. And we're laughing, but it's so sad to see it happen. I have seen people like this, and I have seen their wives suffer, and I have seen their children suffer, and I have seen the trauma and the trial that they have caused upon other people in their lives. What a terrible, crying shame. Listen to it. So Jonah, verse 5, chapter 4, went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Elizabeth B. Brown says this, what you avoid controls you. What you avoid controls you. He's sitting here. Dude,
You have been in the belly of a whale. You have been in a shipwreck. You have got whale scum and vomit all over you. You smell like a dead fish that's been sitting in the dumpster for a week in 95 degree weather. Go home, get a shower, kiss your wife and your children, and get on with your life. What is your problem, dude? He's sitting there, and he's, I want to sit here for 40 days until God brings judgment. Man.
Now, I know none of you men here are like that. And I know none of you know a man that's like that. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Now look how God tortures Jonah here. This is pretty cruel. Big old broadleaf weed jumps up here, covers him over. He says, ah, see that God's on us. Gave me a gourd. You know a man like that? Do you know a man like that? He'd get more excited about a weed growing up that he can lay down and not get a sunburn on his little forehead. Probably had a bald head anyway. And nothing against bald heads, but you know, if you got a bald head, you don't want to be out in the sun. You got to cover that thing up. It'll bake your brain. He's excited about a gourd. Woo! Look at me. Man, you know, ladies, men are much more complicated than what you think. It's not so much they're complicated, they're stubborn. There's some men are just downright evil, wicked. Get excited over a gourd? Dude, this dude's got issues. Got some serious issues. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. God takes him down with a whale. Now he's going to take him down with a worm. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. Now God's going to take him down with a hot wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die. And it said, it's better for me to die than to live. What a baby.
Amen.
See, ladies, you just thought it was your husband. You just thought it was your husband. No, we're talking about the B-I-B-L-E and the human race. And all men are like this. Some men just ain't never figured it out. They'd rather die than figure it out. Somebody else be right. Even God. And he said to Jonah, God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Let's all stand together right now, if you would. I'm gonna confess today about a responsibility that I've been avoiding. I've been avoiding it for 3 years. That is putting new roof on this church. It's not a job that I was really looking forward to doing, so I've found many, many good reasons and excuses over the past 3 years why we can't do it now. But you know what? It's done. You know, sometimes there is no convenient season to do some things. Sometimes there are no convenient opportunities or turning around places. Sometimes you just got to do stuff. Because it needs done, because it's right. What is controlling you today, man? What are you avoiding? Are you one of those men that stand over there and plop down in the recliner and sulk when you're made to take responsibility for yourselves? You know what's really sad about this story is that Jonah's attitude was so bad that even when he took responsibility, his bad attitude had an impact on his preaching. And 37 years later, you know what the Ninevites were doing? They were burning the northern kingdoms of Israel to the ground and carrying all the people off. Their repentance was short-lived. Because Jonah's attitude in taking responsibility was so bad. That's my personal opinion. Now, these people were pretty bad. I don't know if Jonah lived to see it or not. What are you avoiding taking responsibility for? Have you been swallowed by a fish because of your avoidance? What is controlling you today? Let's all bow our heads for just a moment. I love to preach and I enjoy preaching the Word of God, but sometimes the sword cuts both ways. And I have learned the hard way over the years that the longer I take and the more I avoid my responsibilities, the worse off the situation is and the harder it is to resolve. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask you today, to make up your mind right now, and I'm talking to the men especially, but the ladies can be involved in this as well. God, if when I was preaching today, there was something that was on your brain and that was in your craw. While I was preaching today, I want to ask you right now, if you will be willing to take responsibility and do whatever it is that God asks you to do, get it out of the way, get it done, and get it over with. And try the best that you can to have a good attitude about it. For the sake of your wife,